All right. I'll start reading here at Romans chapter 12, verse 1. I beseech ye therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say, through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. I'd like to take verse 2 and put it up in the Amplified, if you will, please. Verse 2 and put it up in the Amplified translation. Do not be conformed to this world, this age, fashioned after and adapted to its external superficial customs, but be transformed, changed, by the entire renewing of your mind, by its new ideas and its new attitude, so that you may prove for yourselves what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God, even the thing which is good and acceptable and perfect in his sight for you. Glory to God. Now we're talking about changing your world, changing your world. Now, you and I, once we have been born again, we're born into a royal family. And that's you and I, basically, right? And we are sons of God. Mature offspring. I'm not saying we're immature. We are mature. And we are here as this royal family, and we are a part of a new dynasty. A dynasty is a race of kings. We come from a kingly line. It basically, he is the king of who? Kings. He is the Lord of who? Lords. So we are here exposing this new dimension. And as you and I have gotten born again, we are no longer ordinary creatures. Once you become born again, Jesus said, the things that I do shall you do also, and greater works shall you do because I go to the Father. Well, you saw Jesus do some things. And then he said in 1 John 4:4, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. So you are created as to matter in your generation. In other words, you are important to this generation that you're serving right now. I mean, you are here on purpose. Well, I don't know who my daddy is. I can tell you who he is. If you're born again, that's a father. Mm-hmm. Now, what you have is from heaven. It's called eternal life. Eternal life. You're not just mere clay. Let me show you a scripture. And that scripture, now these things that I'm telling you now, I'm telling you for a reason. This is not just something simplistic. I'm telling you this because this is something that you need to have a consciousness of. And that's Psalm 103. And he said in Psalm 103, he says, verse 11, for as the heavens are higher than the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. Verse 12, as far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that what? Fear him. For he knoweth our frame. He remembereth that we are what? Dust. All right? So what I want to let you know is that you are no longer mere dust. That you have been born again. Jesus came and he put you back in God's class. So now, if you have eternal life, you have the same life as Jesus. Oh, come on, come on now. You have the life of God. It's not just human life, it's eternal life. Human life is, I think, in the Greek, suche. But human life is zoe. That's the life of God. You have the life of God in you right now. Now, I wanted to take back to Romans chapter 2, because he said, be not conformed, what? To this world. But be ye, what? Transformed by the renewing of your mind. So your mind is going to have a lot to do with how you manifest this new life that's in you. Okay, same life Jesus had. If you've got the same life Jesus had, then you, that life cannot accommodate sickness. Okay, let's look over here. Turn to Mark chapter 1. I want you to see this. Mark chapter 1. Over in Mark chapter 1, Jesus comes to this leper. And look what happened here. He says in verse 40, and there came a leper to him, beseeching him and kneeling down to him and saying to him, if thou wilt, thou can make me clean. And Jesus, moved with compassion, put forth his hand and touched him and said unto him, what? I will, be thou clean. Did he touch a leper? Did Jesus touch this leper? Did he have any fear that the leprosy was going to get on him? All right. As soon as he had spoken, immediately the leprosy departed from him and he was clean. Now, didn't Jesus say, put it up in John chapter 14 and verse 12. Look at what he said in John chapter 14, verse 12. Now, because he's saying you got the same life as he's got. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the same leprosy I touched and it didn't bother me. I'm trying to transpose here. Because you got to have a superiority consciousness. You've got to see yourself superior. In fact, if you look at it, I had a couple of things down here. I want to show you this. When we're talking about seeing yourself in superior, look at hallelujah. Look at Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. Say, I have eternal life. Now, eternal life is the life of God. And it cannot accommodate sickness. However, suppose your mind is not renewed to eternal life and what's in you. Then you lose the identification. You don't identify. One of the reasons why the enemy doesn't want you to remember your roots. Now, I'm not talking about roots that was on TV. I'm talking about your spiritual roots. See, he doesn't want you to be understanding that he's the vine, John chapter 15, and you are the branch. This branch is rooted in the vine. So the same thing that flows up through the vine, if sickness can't touch it, how can it touch the branch? See, one of the things that the branch is going to do is manifest all the things that are in the tree. This is why the enemy doesn't want you to understand that you're the seed of Abraham. Because if you're the seed of Abraham, the Bible says over in Genesis, I think Genesis chapter 17, that these promises were for Abraham and his seed. So whatever Abraham got, you got. So you got to look at Genesis 24, 35 and see what he got. He got gold, he got silver, he got cattle, he got employees, he got all of that. Glory to God. Silver, gold, men servants, maid servants, camels, donkeys. So whatever he got, see, you got. So if that be the case and you're rooted in him, see, if your consciousness is more in him, then you can benefit. But if your consciousness is not renewed and you're still living on the level of a person who doesn't know God, then you're going to get what that person gets. Even though you are royalty. Even though you are a new dynasty, you are a race of kings, you are a person that can command nations. Oh, am I going too far? Where do I have you now? In Ephesians? Let's just look at this and then go to James. Look what it says in Ephesians chapter 2 and just verse 6. I'm just read 6 and 7. And has raised us up, what? Together. And made us, come on, sit together, come on, in heavenly places, come on, in Christ. So he made you sit in heavenly places. So the world should be looking up at you. Wow. But hold it now. I'm going to go to James, but let's just prove this. Go to Micah and Micah chapter 4. Now, I don't have all day for you to find Micah, so just go to the table of contents. Praise God and pull it out from there. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Micah, okay, Micah chapter 4. Now, what am I doing? Be ye not conformed, what, to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewal of your mind. See, God knows what's in you, but the devil knows what's in you. His job is to keep your mind from believing that. His job is to keep your mind unconverted, untransformed. Keep you with a knowledge that you are just who you were and that's it. Now I'm telling you, when you go around those relatives, they try to remind you, especially at Thanksgiving, Christmas, all of that. They try to remind you of everything you did. So you'll make sure you don't forget it. Say amen to them. But in the last days, it shall come to pass that the mountain of the house of the Lord shall be established in the top of the mountains and shall be exalted above the hills. And the people shall do what? Flow into it. It's talking about the church now. You're going to be exalted. You're going to be in a high place. The world should be looking up to you. Amen. Say amen to that. Amen. And if you look at that same thing, it's written also in Ezekiel, let's see. It's same thing as written in Isaiah. Turn to Isaiah chapter 2, please. Isaiah chapter 2. Isaiah chapter 2. I mean, I heard this one man say, if the devil has any word for you, tell him to write it on the bottom of your shoe. You know, that's kind of old simplification, but that is accurate. He's below you. I said, the devil is below you. Sickness is below you. Failure is below you. Come on now. Frustration is below you. Look what it says here. I got to write this down because I don't want to forget this scripture God's telling me to take you to. Look what it says here in Isaiah chapter 2 and verses 2 and 3. And it shall come to pass in the last days that the mountain, okay, of the Lord's house shall be established where? In the top of the mountains, and shall be what? Exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow into it. So you are in a high place. And this is God saying that we should be, as far as the world is concerned, they should be learning how to live from us. Because we know some stuff. Are you with me? All right. Now also, glory to God. Let's go over to James chapter 5. James chapter 5. Are you with me? In James chapter 5, look what it says here. Because this is the power that the church should have. That the church should have. You should be a leader. Look what it says here in verse 17. Elias or Elijah was a man subject to like passions as we are. And he prayed earnestly that it might not rain. And it didn't rain on the earth for the space of 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heavens gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. Now this is showing dominion. Say dominion. Because we're talking about changing your world. That you have something to say about what goes on in your environment. This is Elijah. Now, this is a man, he said, subject to like passions as we are. This is him. And he prayed and the rain stopped. Prayed again and it started. And I'm telling you, because of the sins of humanity, things are happening. But you and I are here to preserve the earth. Turn to Matthew chapter 5. Now, listen, don't go to sleep on me. This is relevant stuff here. You know, y'all got to get this now. Because we're coming up on times that droughts are coming and so forth. But you're supposed to have a field that's got rain in it. All right, now remember, we're sitting now. We're set on a hill. And look what it says here. I said the world should be looking at, up at us. Look what it said in verse 13. You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt had lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is therefore good for nothing, but to be cast out into the and trodden under the foot of men. You are the what of the world? Light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Lord, have mercy. Neither do men light candles and put them under a bushel, but on a candlestick, that it may give light to all those in the house. So let your light shine before who? Men, that they may see what? Your good works and glorify your Father. So every redeemed child of God should be an attraction for the world. The world should want to know, what is this that you got? Turn to Deuteronomy chapter 28, please. I'm renewing your mind. Deuteronomy chapter 28. Let me know when you get there by saying praise the Lord. Verse 1. It shall come to pass, if thou shalt hearken diligently to the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe to do all his commandments, which I command thee this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee what? High. On high above how many nations? All nations of the earth. So you're supposed to be sitting above them. So you are important to this generation. I said, you are important to this generation. Now, you are not subject to failure. I said, you are not subject to failure. Come on over with me, please, and turn with me over to John chapter 16. John 16. You are not subject to failure. Or what things you could do if you had a made up mind that you are not subject to failure. My Lord, you'd move out of that little box you're in and get out there and really do some big things for God. Look at verse 33, John chapter 16, 33. These things I have spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world you shall have what? Tribulation. But be of good cheer. Keep going. I have overcome the world. Let me give you another translation. Satan has been deprived of his right and his ability to hurt or destroy you or make you fail. Satan has been deprived of his right and ability to hurt or destroy you or make you fail. Man, that's good preaching. So you can't fail. I said you cannot fail. You are not subject to failure. Come on over to John chapter 11. Look at John chapter 11. This is when Jesus goes up here and Lazarus has been dead for 3 days, going on the fourth day, and now he comes to the tomb site. Verse 21, then said Martha to Jesus, Lord, if you had only been here early, my brother would not have died. But I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it to you. And Jesus said to her, thy brother shall rise again. Martha said to him, I know that he'll rise again in the resurrection and the last day. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. And he that believeth on me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whoever liveth and believeth on me shall never die. Do you believe this? All right, look at verse 34. And he said, where have you laid him? And they said unto him, Lord, come and see. And Jesus what? Wept. Now, was he weeping because Lazarus had died? No. If you're going to raise the man up, why would you weep because he died? What was he weeping for? Unbelief. The unbelief that was among the people that had, their minds were not renewed, that they were the Israel of God. They were God's right hand. They were his battle axe. They were his people that he had put in this earth to live above everybody else in this earth and show everybody who God really is. And I think sometimes there's some crying going on for the church. We need to wake up to who God says we are and get the right identity in our minds and meditate in our minds who we are until we come out of that thing ready to chew nails. Look at verse 36. Then said the Jews, behold how he loved him. See, they had it all wrong. They thought he was crying because he loved them so much and praised the Lord. And some of them said, could not this man which opened the eyes of the blind have caused this man that he would not have died? In other words, if he just could have caught him before he died. But now he's dead, and like Martha said, he's stinking. Look at this. Jesus therefore groaned in himself, cometh to the grave, and it was a cave, and a stone lay upon it. And Jesus said, take away the stone. Martha, the sister of him that was dead, said unto him, Lord, hold it now. Wait a minute. Hold on now. I know you changed water to wine. I saw you do that. I saw you feed 5,000 plus women and children. Now, I saw that. I saw you even heal a leper. Now, I saw that myself. And I saw Peter's mother-in-law get the demons cast out of me because sickness got healed. And I saw that. But this man, he's stinking by this hour. So his body is decomposing. So I know you can't do anything for that. He's been dead 4 days. Jesus said to her, say not unto thee that if you would believe, you'll see the glory of God. Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid, and Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank you that you have heard me. And I know that you hear me, come on, always. But because of this people, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. And when he thus had spoken, he cried with a loud voice, what? Come forth. Now, I know what the disciples did. The disciples backed up. They said, now, boss, you out there on your own now. Whoa. You see, you and I are a race of people that God has placed in this earth for this last hour that are going to do such phenomenal miracles until the world cannot deny who God really is. The church is robed in power. And we are sent here to manifest the many-sided wisdom of God. And the world is to clearly see the force of God that is behind us and want to know our God. And you and I are sent here to reign in this earth and emerge in this earth as an exalted people that God is supernaturally empowering, that will command the attention of nations. So that's where we are. That's who we are. And it says it over in Joel. It says it in different places in this Bible. So here is Jesus, and Jesus is demonstrating here how powerful God really is. Now, understand, the Bible says the things that he did, we should do too. Didn't it say that? And the Bible said in verse 44, he that was dead came forth bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound about with a napkin. And Jesus said to them, what? Loose him and let him go. Now, let's see what stops us many times from operating on this level, all right? One of the things is, I spoke it before, is identity. Coming over here to Matthew's Gospel, chapter 16. Identity. Identification or sonship is key to the supernatural. You've got to know who you are. Now, I won't read all of this, but this is where Matthew chapter 16. And this is saying that one of the first things that stop people from operating on this level is revelation. Revelation. Not just information, but you've got to take that information and meditate it until it becomes revelation. And he said in verse 15, he said to them, but who do you say that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said to him, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father which is in heaven. Underline the word revealed. Reveal. And I say unto thee that thou art who? Peter. In verse 18, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not what? Prevail against it. So the idea about this is that if you know who he is, you'll know who you are. Oh, yes. Because you've been made in his image. This is how you and I were made. So revelation. Now, one of the things about revelation, as I said it before, and I'll say it again, revelation brings a revolution. Revelation brings a revolution. That when something is revealed to you, when you see, glory to God, when you see your rights or see what you possess or see what's been held from you, you become a revolutionary. Because it doesn't belong to them. It belongs to me. And something rises up in you where you are unwilling to settle for anything less. See, if you know that healing belongs to you, say amen to that. If you know that a piece of property in Florida belongs to you, then you're going to fight to get it. But if you're not sure it belongs to you, then it's amazing how you'll tolerate something less. Say amen to that. See, I know peaceable habitations is what God guaranteed me in the scripture in Isaiah. So there is no strife in my house. No arguments, none. Because arguments will lead pretty soon to division. And division will lead to divorce. And I ain't having it. See, so we don't get divided. A house divided, come on. Won't stand. The enemy tried to talk you into this or that. So the same thing about your body. Some come pain try to come in your body. Does that belong to you? No. It doesn't belong to you. See, and if you know it doesn't belong to you, you become belligerent. Yeah. But if you have reservations about it, he's, well, let's see, I must have messed up somewhere. See, you go through all of that. If I mess up, Lord, if I messed up, forgive me. Thank you in Jesus' name. Now, devil, get out of my body. That quick. Say amen to this. Now, I'm saying that revelation, it'll make you intolerant of anything less than God's best. Yeah. So this is the first thing. Now I'm out of time, but can y'all give me just about 5 more minutes here? The next thing is law of association. I'm just telling you why people don't get to this place where there's supposed to be royalty and ruling and so forth. The law of association. Go to 1 Corinthians, please, in chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. In 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 33, be not deceived. Evil communication corrupts, come on, good manners. The evil communication corrupts good manners. Now, put that up there in the Amplified, if you will, please. Let's just get another degree of understanding of that. Do not be so deceived and misled. Evil companionships, communion or what? Associations corrupt and deprave good manners and morals and character. Oh, Lord. All right, let's just deal with this just a little bit here. Say amen to this. Now, amen. All right. Now, I don't have much time, but let me just try to get this in here. All right. The law of association. Say law of association.
Law of association.
One man said it this way, show me your friends and I'll show you your future. Associations are both powerful and subtle. Two words, write them down. Powerful and what? Subtle. How many of you know that Moses ended up striking a rock? Now, what did God tell him to do with the rock? Speak to it. Why did he strike it? Why did he strike it? Okay. He grew frustrated with that bunch. That he was busy carrying around. Are you following what I'm saying? Now, what happened? Some of what was on them got on him. See, God talked to me about that. Are you following what I'm saying? And he said, you got to watch people you're around, because either they're becoming like you or you're becoming, come on, like them. So if I'm in the world, if the world's not becoming like me, I gotta watch that I don't become, come on, like them. So the next thing I know, I'm like that eagle whose egg was hatched in a chicken yard, and he comes out. He looks around, and what is all that he sees? Chickens. Who does he try to imitate? Chickens. See, you've been born in a chicken yard. You've been born around a bunch of chickens that, come on now, that they don't have what you have. They can't fly like you can fly. They can't go to the height that you can go. Come on. They don't even eat what you eat. Say amen to that. Do you know eagles don't eat anything dead like that? They don't eat, they catch fish and so forth. They don't eat all that old dead, old pig feet. Excuse me, I had to go there. Y'all with me? Now, my point to you is these associations. See, and you got to watch them because they're both powerful and subtle. It's like your faith used to work, but why is it not working now? See, there may be some unbelief that has crept into your life from the associations that you have. Now, it's all right to have the associations, but realize that you are the light of the world, that you are the salt of the earth. Come on, that you are the kings and priests. Say amen. That you are the city that's set on a hill. They should be looking to you for direction. So what happens in that, you got to watch it, because you're going around people that sometimes you're trying to be nice. And in being nice, you begin to back up on your integrity. Ooh. And all of a sudden you start accepting things that are not that. You know, I remember David. Well, just the three Hebrews. You know, when they came there and Nebuchadnezzar said, this is a king now. This is a man who had great stature. He said, wait a minute, now you got to bow down. If you don't bow down, I'll throw you in that furnace. And they said, king, we respect you. I'm putting it in my own words. King, we respect you and all of that. But the God that we serve. See, doctor, I understand your diagnosis. And I realize that you've been to medical school and I give you all the credit for all the world's knowledge. But, come on, you got to put that but in there. But the God that I serve, see, because when you start letting down and letting down and letting down, pretty soon you wonder what happened to your faith. It's not working anymore. It's not delivering me anymore. Well, that's because evil communication has corrupted good manners. So I'm not trying to say be discourteous, but you've got to be a king. You've got to be a ruler. You've got to be a child of God. You cannot deny your father. You cannot say anything as an ambassador that's not said by the King of Kings. You're representing him. You have no right to go off and say what you want to say. You have only a right to deliver the word from heaven. Boy, that's good preaching right there. Say amen to that. And I'm telling you, when you do it, some people, especially them relatives, they're going to look at you like you just stole something. But you just got to let them look all they want to, because in the end, they're going to see the difference. Jesus walked into the house where Jairus' daughter was, and this is what he said. She's not dead, she's just asleep. And look here, they were crying before he came in, then they start laughing at him. But he put them all out, raised her up, and made a fool out of them. No, I just said it like that. But he showed them that the God that he represents. Come on, saints. We got to get bold for Jesus. Come on. Everybody else coming out the closet, come on out. This is our time. This is our moment. God is now beautifying the church. Whatever has been taking away from your beauty and the things that make you comfortable, the comforter is going to remove. Say amen to that. Now let me just show you one more thing. Sit down. Now let's go to one more place. The last one is integrity. Integrity. The devil is after your integrity. Go to Job. Now, Job chapter 2. We'll do that and then we'll go. Are y'all with me? Now it's an interesting thing about integrity. That this integrity is very important for building strength in your spirit. Integrity is defined as the entire unimpaired state of anything, particularly of the mind. It's moral soundness. It's purity. Now, you are, as God sends you, you are to change your world. Everywhere you go, you are to bring it under kingdom subjection. You are to dispossess squatters. Anybody that's occupying the land that's not supposed to be there has to give it up. And this word integrity, one man said about it that it is the individual's greatest asset. This integrity, when you stand on the Word of God with integrity and remain unchanged, then something is going to have to give. When we are changeable as our circumstances, then our circumstances actually start ruling over us. So you, as a person of integrity, are supposed to stand. And integrity will remain when everything else is taken away. It is the key that guarantees success in life. Character and integrity. And one of the things that it is what you are when nobody's looking. Integrity. Many people have not experienced financial success in the body of Christ because of a lack of integrity. It means to live up to your promises. And as you do that, it will perfect inner strength. If you go and say you're going to do something, do it. If you do not do it, it weakens your integrity. The Bible says in Psalm 15 and 4, put it up on the board, please. In whose eyes a vile person is contemned, but he honoreth them that fear the Lord, that sweareth to his own hurt and changeth not. What does that mean? It means keep your word even if it hurts. Are y'all here? Now, what I said is this is something that operates beneath the surface. Peter, as you know, told the Lord, I'll never leave you. But what happened when the pressure came? He left him. But did Peter in the end get built up?
Yes.
Yep. When the Sanhedrin council got Peter, tried to get him to shut up and stop preaching Jesus, he said, no, no, no. I've got to do what I've been sent to do.
Amen.
And let's look at Job now, the last place. Because once you get the word, keep it. You stand on that word and everything around you must change. Glory to God. I want to show you something that's really, really unique about Job. Job chapter 2 and look at verse 9. Then said his wife to him, do you still retain your what? Integrity? Why don't you curse God, come on, and die? But he said to her, you speak as one of a foolish woman. Speak. This integrity the devil was after in Job's life. Watch this. Because Job kept his integrity. Whatever the devil stole, he must give it back. So I'm telling you right now that God is out to build your integrity. He knows that it's one of the major pieces that we need for to move into this changing of our world and this place that he wants us into. And he realizes that many times in the past, we have not kept our word, that things have not, we have not stood on God's word like we should. But I tell you, if you keep hanging around Bill Winston, if you keep coming in here, hearing this word of God, where you were weak, you will soon be made strong. God is establishing you as a world changer, and that's all I have for tonight. God bless you in Jesus' name. All right, before we leave, there might be somebody here, that person is not born again, and God has been speaking to you about being born again. And I'd like to give you an opportunity to be born again, because the things that I'm talking